I did have something prepared for y'all.
Oh, no.
Because we sure don't.
Yeah, what do y'all want to talk about?
Hang on. I wrote this down. I just want to read it. Yo ass is prepared for this shit. For fucking 365 days. I think about them fuckers in that locker room. Think about getting our opportunity. All the shit you went through this week to get ready for this podcast. Now is when you pay the fucking price. You go out there with energy, enthusiasm. Hey, guys, ain't nobody on this Zoom should be cautious. Ain't nobody in this Zoom should be nervous about shit. Go out there and fuck their ass up. Don't think about cold opens. Don't think about shit. You think about knocking the shit out of them. Did you hear what Alex said on Monday? Well, I sat in that fucking thread. I wanted to go fucking record right then. Tore your shit up out here 2 years ago. Fucked your shit up. Goddamn pride and joy tells me you fuck these guys up. You go and podcast the right way. You blog the right way. You knock their ass off. You stay off the fucking ground. You retweet the fucking TikToks. The shit's easy. Look at the right shit. Punish their ass on Twitter and kick their ass on TikTok. It's about who the fuck we are. I believe in you.
Let's go kick their fucking ass. Woo! Let's go! Yeah! I'm stuck all the way back on cautious.
Here's the thing.
My God.
I was positive that's what Cerber was about to do before he did it, and I still absolutely loved it. Not even a little. Not even a little.
Still popped.
Just trying to get it. It's a contract year for me, so.
Let's win it for Cerber.
These are the latest TechSags political forums, okay? I'm only going to share with you the cream of the crop. With 185 replies, the most active current one is... Can you shoot someone while they're holding up a store you're at?
I like that someone is lying down on the floor of a convenience store, like prone, just typing this on a Sidekick.
Oh,
please,
hell yes.
Please reply quickly.
Yeah, urgent.
Yes. Last comment 3 minutes ago on this thread, the Satanic Temple dedicating largest satanic gathering in history to Boston Mayor.
I didn't know it's the
18 hours ago, Diamond of Diamond and Silk died.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They're coming for your gas appliances next.
Oh, that one's real.
Propane and propane accessories.
Whoa.
Not on my watch. Talk about a hill to die on.
Hank, that's how they get you.
This is the most fucking Dale Gribble ass fan base alive.
That makes him sound charming.
So they're coming to take your appliances?
No. Bill, let's see. Bill, we might go Houston. Yeah.
Bobert gives me hope.
No, God. That's not what you mean. That's not what that word means.
Yeah, she basically finished 7-6 in her election, so.
I do like TCU as Boomhauer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone likes him.
Mm-hmm.
Rogan and Weinstein, COVID deep dive.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Is Bobby Rice?
Yes.
I'll be over here.
There's a man
eating chicken fingers.
Eating chicken.
Have you read that? Fuck.
Yeah, okay. I got two more for you.
Okay.
So Lou Ann might be like UT Austin, right? Like learning like socialism and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did all the anti-religious pot bangers go?
Pot bangers?
What's a...
Yeah.
Huh.
Where did all the anti-religious pot bangers go?
Like, I have a comment and a question.
Bible thumpers versus pot bangers is what they're imagining?
Yeah.
Maybe I can only convey, I can't explain. But
you are but a vessel.
You're just the vessel. Yeah.
But you're but the pot.
Yeah. I have these brain worms in a jar. I'm not putting them in my hand, is what I'm saying.
Was that a topic on the thread?
That was a topic. that was a fucking topic.
Are these safe to can? If y'all have never been on canning Reddit, by the way, this is absolutely what it's like.
John Redcorn could be UTEP. Just out there. Out there being sexy.
Last comment 4 days ago, quite active with 71 comments.
Better than A&M.
Prince Harry needs attention again.
What? Yes.
That's right.
Oh, thank God, the royalist faction of Texas A&M is here.
Yeah.
And my final one is the thing that disturbs me about Matt Gaetz.
Just the one? Just one?
Is Con Texas looking down on all the poors?
Yes. Yep, just that tracks. Who's Peggy?
Oh, Peggy's Texas Tech.
Texas Tech because of the Spanish?
Yeah,
Tortilla.
100%. Who's Mayambo.
Who's Cotton?
Baylor.
Mm.
Yep. Thank you. It was right there. It's so obvious.
Thank you.
I think we should give the bear more Dr. Pepper.
The next time that they loot, the next
Texas
time they
took
loot,
my shims.
The school with the most people where you have to say like, please God, don't put a mic in his face.
The next time they lose, that's all I'm gonna hear. Tojo took my shims.
Can I offer a moment of congratulations, of genuine congratulations, to Stetson Bennett for one thing? We got a 9 a.m. Pacific time announcement that he would not be appearing at the morning after press conference. Good for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You owe us nothing.
Yeah. That's like when you have a class that has sessions after the final exam.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, why would I go to that?
100%.
I've never heard of this. Is that real?
Sometimes you'll get like a weird class where like the way the final falls, there's still like a class or two after you've already taken the final, but before
for
it's
what?
Graded. Exactly.
To hang out?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't want to be an adult yet. I'm just going to hang out.
Anyway, I don't care if he just wanted to like sleep in, or if he wanted to go for a nice swim, or if he wanted to like go find breakfast tacos somewhere. Good for you, young man.
Just text in, too drunk.
I mean,
well,
once
listen,
you've been
I don't
drunk
care,
on Good Morning
I don't care
America,
what it is.
You can't really like top that, so you might as well. Like,
I hope everything is fine, and he's just like, I don't feel like it. You shouldn't have to do anything you don't feel like.
His morning
today.
Interview, I saw Whitney Medworth said that his morning interview, he just answered, I don't know, to every
No,
question.
That was last night.
That was on
that
the
was last night.
Oh, it was on the field with Holly Roux.
Yeah.
You see, Harbaugh, it's not that hard.
He was doing a great job of like actively taking it all in. You could just see on his face like,
just go away.
So few people ever get to experience what I'm feeling right now, and I want to know every bit of that.
Yeah. He was kind of doing a little bit of that after the semis too. He was just kind of floating. I love that for him. Is it, listen, there's a question that we're all skirting, and let's just put it right out there. Is it time to upgrade his future to a Buick?
I think, you know, once you're a three-star, you ride with the three-star all the way because, you know, you're loyal.
How many stars are you suggesting Buick is?
And because Kia, based right here, there's an assembly plant in West Point, Georgia. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Kia's the TikTok hotness right now because they didn't put a proper, like, steering column lock on the car. So apparently a TikTok trend right now is you can hotwire a Kia with a USB cord.
That's dope.
Ooh, and Stetson is also unsafe at most speeds. So, yeah.
For the freaking defense, yeah.
No, for everyone around him, mm-hmm. not for him.
Can't stop him running.
Nope.
That's right.
DCU, sure couldn't.
All right, I got an actual procedural question I've been kicking around in my head. You remember? Oh. I guess this was year before last at this point when I was screaming about schools that were just churning out lists and lists and lists of bad fifth-year quarterbacks. And at the time, I was mad at Tennessee. And the two schools that I remember pairing with Tennessee in terms of here are these programs with all the resources in the world who can't seem to turn up a good senior quarterback were Michigan and Georgia.
Mm.
And those two programs have really taken like similar but also very divergent paths since then. And The only thing that I can think of that's a reasonable explanation for why, you know, for why we continue to insist that Stetson snuck up on us in plain sight is, you know, you hire Kirby to build an apparatus like Alabama's, right? And they don't do everything exactly like Alabama, but it's pretty close. And one of those key factors is every once in a while, usually until very crucial moments, I kind of forget that there's a Munkin over on Georgia's sideline because the personality of what Munkin does is so subsumed by the Kirby and Muschamp of it all. And part of that is because, you know, they just don't they don't do the very strict, but, you know, Bama has this calendar, right? Freshmen are never available to the media. Coordinators are available to the media twice a year. And Georgia's schedule isn't quite that strict, but it's close. Mm-hmm. And I think at times in the past 2 years, I've just kind of forgotten that Muschamp made, or that, same thing, that Kirby made what's probably as revolutionary a hire as Saban hiring Kiffin. It just happened more quietly because of the personalities involved.
Yeah, by the way, that's the guy who turned Brandon Weeden into a first-round draft pick.
I'm saying!
Yeah, another geriatric college quarterback. Shouts out to Brandon Weeden, who was Stetson Bennett before Stetson Bennett was Stetson Bennett.
I mean, a Browns first-round quarterback.
Stetson Bennett was Stetson Bennett the third. Then before that was some sort of alternate universe negative number Stetson Bennett. But yeah, I see the point regardless.
He's the reigning Bennett.
Then Stetson Bennett prime.
I think this Georgia offense kind of snuck through a lot of shit this year because they don't have a front-facing personality because, like, whatever personality might have been, you know, ascribed to them via having a monk and via having these giant tight ends is overshadowed by just having little old Kirby just sitting atop it all.
There's another thing.
Like, he has a blunting effect over everything.
There's another thing I love about what Todd Monken did with that offense, which is this. A lot of stuff that they run and a lot of their concepts are, you know, distinctly spread friendly. They're very aggressive. They are
distinctly very spread friendly.
They have some. There is a little bit of like roots in the air raid there, and it's some. I say this with the most Will Muschamp style disdain in
horseshit.
My voice, reserved for spread offenses. A little bit of that look back bullshit.
A little bit of that horseshit.
A little bit of that woke offense that they run.
No.
You know they call it that. You know that. Like,
now I keep saying that we're gonna get emails, and I'm joking, but we're gonna get emails.
But they do all that, but they do it out of a too tight set. So you can almost hear like the like interview. They're like, "Hey, one more thing. You gonna run all of that, like, you know, that woman offense? You gonna run that commie offense?"
Tell them we ran that ironically.
Yeah, you know, like Will Muschamp sitting there going, "You ain't gonna make me run that."
I said this in pre-show. Do you think they let Munkin sit at the same table with them, the rest
no,
of the coaches,
absolutely
or do
not.
You think they make him like sit on the floor in the corner?
Yeah, they're like, go sit
over there, nerd.
Yeah, you go sit at the nerd table. Bainbridge boys here.
Bet you like points, huh?
Woo! Yeah, but they run all of that. They just do it out of two tights, so it's not
tights.
It tights.
Sorry.
They do it out of two tights, and they do it with Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington. So it's not communist spread football undermining. Right, like when they run screens, it's to Brock Bowers. It's not, you know, a perimeter screen that's 2 yards.
It's not gay if you're throwing to the broadside of a barn.
Right, like we run a masculine offense. It's a spread offense in disguise a lot of the time, y'all.
Listen, can we get some kind of War Powers Act to have Brock Bowers drafted? I don't know how old he is. He has to go. I don't want to play him again.
Too bad.
Yeah,
I don't want to play him again. Did you see the schedule for next year, by the way? We have to play those fuckers in November.
So
yeah, that's pretty rude.
I don't want...
When would you
prefer
to play them?
In September, so we can just get it over with.
Oh, okay.
At the latest, at the first week of October. This is messing with my biorhythms, because I don't know how you prepare for playing a team that has a grain silo that can catch the football and run with it.
So you just want it out of the way.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
the Shutdown Foolcast. You've been listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, joined as always by Jason Kirk, Ryan Nanny,
Hello.
Holly Anderson,
Hello.
And Michael Serber on the ones and twos. Michael was also the one who provided us with that heater of an intro, completely original dialogue, not at all cribbed from anything recent or recorded in a locker room.
Question. Mm-hmm. What do you think Kirby watched to hype himself up and create that speech? What do you think he pastiched it? Like, not plagiarized. What are his inspo sources, right? What's on Kirby's vision board?
Boondock Saints.
Den of Thieves.
Like, do you think he has the...
It has to be something time appropriate for him, though, right? He's 47, so right. Braveheart is a great answer.
Do you think he has the video, like Patriot Games, right?
Sure.
Do you think he has the video assistants who come up with all of George's other hype videos? Do you think he has them make him like a personal hype reel, a pre-hype reel to turn around and get them hyped up?
To hype the hype?
I think he just watches
Do you think he has to hide the tape of Boondock Saints because he thinks it's Catholic? Ooh. It's too Catholic.
I mean, it is Catholic. So.
I don't think he knows what Catholicism is.
Yeah, I don't think. Oh, yeah, he's okay. From Bainbridge. He doesn't know what it is.
He just thinks they're Irish.
He's like, he's like, I watch Snatch. I don't know what the hell they're saying, and that pisses me off.
I don't know what they're saying, but I like
not them. About what this movie was not about what I thought it was going to be about.
You mean the Brad Pitt portion? Yeah. No, I mean all of it. All of it's unintelligible.
I like the part where he said, "Do you like kayaks?" I think he meant dogs, because I do.
You know how teams have, these teams have these movie bonding nights and whatnot. Can we just imagine for one moment Kirby taking the team to see Knives Out or Glass Onion?
Tar.
Why'd they make James Bond sound like my nana? Yeah, Tar would have been better. You're right. That was also not about what I thought it was going to be about.
This is what people want to hear in 2023 is like Snatch references.
That's right. Well, listen, that's we're trying to our Kirby. Yeah. That's why we're out on
What are
that
we supposed
limb,
to talk about today?
I don't know.
So I, speaking of Stetson Bennett, I have been gifted a Stetson Bennett theory earlier today. Past 2 years, there's been this dissonance, right? Between we see this guy's team winning, we see him playing pretty well. Yeah, he's had some bad games, but who the fuck hasn't? And at the same time, all of our brains are telling us, no, this player is bad. And there's been this tension in this battle the entire time, and Georgia's coaches at points agreed with this player is bad side. And then you look up at the end of last year and like, wait a second, his numbers are pretty good, right? And then this year, there was the treating the Heisman race as a meme the entire time. And then you look up the second half of the playoff semifinal, like, what the fuck? He's awesome and always has been. And it's like this dawning realization over the last two or three games that like this entire tension was completely fucking fake the entire time. He was a walk-on, so we got gas. Gaslighted into believing he never deserved a scholarship. He was in various QB battles, so we believe that, like, you know, those must have been real. And all this stuff. And, like, I think what it all boils down to is a number, and not the number IV at the end of his name, but the number 25. His age, which has meant the NFL doesn't treat him as a serious prospect. And because of that, our entire fandom ecosystem that includes college fans, NFL fans, college media, NFL media, because of the NFL's stance on him, it has filtered all the way throughout college fandom that we are supposed to not think of him as a prospect as well. It has taught us to let our eyes lie to us. This guy, he can run. He can throw fine. He's not the greatest thrower. He can throw fine. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a good college football player. But because the NFL is unlikely to want him, because of his age, we let that filter down to us. If he was 19, you think the NFL wouldn't want him? That's it. That's my entire theory.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that tracks because we are also, as a college football collective, unprepared to, like, we think of that as a one-way valve, right? We think about how the players that we cover go on to affect the NFL and the schemes that we love go on to matriculate upwards towards the NFL. We don't ever think about anything that happens to the NFL affecting us because timeline-wise, that's down the road, right? That's supposed to be a one-way street. And so we wouldn't be mentally prepared for a sentiment to double back like that.
Yeah, and plus, we think of ourselves, we college football fandom, we think of ourselves as tastemakers because, like, we have these players first and all
it's
that
true.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, to a large extent, is very true. And often, you know, often, like, we
I don't want to hear about
we
the times
pass
you've been
that
wrong.
Knowledge, we pass that knowledge along to NFL fans. That happens, yeah. And we have
it's
our
It's always a Josh
Doctson.
It's never a Josh Rosen. Yep.
Yes, we are to credit for Russell Wilson's success, not right. to blame for Russell Wilson's failures.
That part is true, though. Like, we didn't know Russell Wilson would be this weird. Like, if Russell Wilson had said all these things in college, we would have been like, no, don't draft this.
No, no.
No, but to Ryan's point, seriously, every time I think of an example, I'm like, no, but we were right about that.
For a while.
Yeah, actually, you know what we can claim? We can claim Geno Smith.
Yep.
There you have it.
Bam!
By the way, long-term investment. That's why you hold
never
stocks.
Doubted.
Quarterback.
Never doubted.
Smith, don't you
diamond hands.
Fucking
diamond. The ultimate diamond
actually,
hands.
Don't
actually,
you tell me a fucking thing about Geno Smith.
A handful of West Virginia coal. What does it become? Diamond hands.
What we need to what we
anthracite
need
anthracite hands.
We just need to tweak it and say, like, if we say someone is good, but they are drafted by a certain subset of teams, what we say doesn't matter. Like, right, you could be good and go to the Jets, and it won't matter.
Like, they're going
that's
into,
not
a, they're going into
wrong.
A Schrodinger's box, right?
No, until it's just dead. The cat's just dead in the Jets box.
We, how about this? We like this list of players if the Seahawks draft them.
Okay. The other – I like your NFL theory vis-a-vis Stetson Bennett. The other thing that I think helped amplify that, which is super rare in college football – is that for a solid year, Georgia fans were also out on Stetson Bennett. Right. They appreciated what was happening.
Help.
But, like, the consensus at the end of last year when they won the national title and beat Georgia was not, fuck yeah, Stetson Bennett, let's ride. It was like, well, that was good, but surely we won't try that again, will? Like, there is something to listening to the fans.
It's like when
program.
Your sister's husband goes back to business school at like age 40.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing when, like, let's use Sean Clifford as an example. Penn State fans have been real cold on Sean Clifford for a lot of the season. But then he came out and had a good end of the season, really good Rose Bowl game. And they're at the point where they're sort of like, ah, yes, we appreciate what you have done. And we have some perspective to look at it.
Also, yeah. He's gone.
He
that
is
always,
gone. Yes,
that
yes,
always
yes,
helps,
yes.
Which is the like, because if he is coming back and be like, that is fucking Sean Clifford.
Yes. But like most of
now them, we love him. Yeah.
But now
like,
he's great.
They weren't necessarily categorically wrong about Sean Clifford for long stretches. I think it was more just like, well, giving the ball to Drew Allard does not seem like the move at this point, and just let Sean Clifford do it. Take your two losses, enjoy it, like whatever. So I don't think fans are broadly wrong about this. From like a season-long perspective, we were very bad at saying like somebody sucks because they had one bad quarter or one bad game or whatever. But like, we listened to you, Georgia fans. You said Stetson Bennett wasn't awesome for a long time.
That's now what we said it, motherfucker. That's what we said it. He's won hard. That's why we can say it ain't won a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of that is like Georgia fans looking up and thinking like, well, if we're this good with a no-star quarterback, just imagine if one of the five stars worked.
Yes, right? If Stetson Bennett had lost this job in preseason, not that many Georgia fans would have been like, oh, this is not the right thing to do. This is a bad move. We got to go with the hottest hand. That's not where they were at.
Mm-hmm. So it's numerous things. Numerous pieces of disinfo all collecting and colliding.
Yes.
It's kind of the I'm going to put my theory up against this one also. We also like personally on this show, we also don't really like to think of ourselves as being susceptible to being affected by Georgia fans.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to think that it could happen to them.
Here's the third thing.
They're too powerful. They have too much control of our brains.
They've got too much dog in them.
So Stetson,
it's leaking.
Stetson made Jason money by being a Heisman finalist. At no point in this season can I remember Georgia pushing for, like, you know who should be in the conversation more? Stetson Bennett. Like, they have decided to play the nobody believes in us and we are disrespected. Like, that's the vibe they're going for. Okay, I see you hold...
The grand
a Georgia player said last night, They said we would go 7-5.
Nolan Smith said that? Nolan Smith was the one who said that. Now, I want to maintain.
It's not a good school, okay? Just let him have this.
The conspiracy theory of all conspiracy theories. Or, by the way, wild. Someone in Georgia believing a fantasy world of their own making and then having real world
involving
consequences.
Involving math, yeah.
Let me put it this way. What would be the one reason that a Georgia fan would have to say, yeah, they don't believe in us? What would be the one reason?
What would be the second reason?
Thing potentially holding up the Georgia juggernaut? A governor on their otherwise unlimited horsepower.
Rat poison?
A three-star among the five stars. All right.
Rat poison?
A tiny mascot of a player put in a critical offensive position amidst giants and greats. Who would that be? That's right. The Operation Mind Genius Brain Gorilla Kirby Smart. Starting Stetson Bennett for not one, but 2 years just to have one single tangible point of evidence that they might be doubted.
And also so throwing a Ladd McConkie on occasion so that they could really believe that.
Putting the law firm.
They didn't believe an old man could throw to a child, but he did.
The Bennett McConkie operation, all of it was about being able to say, our team has a couple guys who look goofy, and therefore nobody believes in us.
Stars don't matter here at Georgia.
Except for our 100,000 five-stars.
Except for 19 of the 22 positions on the field. 20 of the 22
Tell me that doesn't matter when your quarterback looks like a Make-A-Wish kid standing behind his own offensive line. Like, oh, look, they let this sickly orphan come out and play behind
At times, in the words of Holly, he really did resemble the upworthy-ass quarterback. Like, look at this boy who gets to take snaps.
He's the inspirational story that the longer you think about it, the worse you feel.
But that's what we get for being looking-ass with our looking eyes. He was a great college quarterback. He just never looked like it walking out there.
Now,
ever.
No.
There are two. No. I looked this up. There are two SEC teams that Stetson Bennett never beat. Do you know who they are?
Oh, no.
Go on.
Did they play A&M?
They never did not. A&M. That's one of them.
Whoop! Scared.
The other one, who they also didn't play, is Ole Miss.
Also scared.
So... greatest college football quarterback of all time? Greatest in Georgia history? I don't know. A&M was pretty bad this year. Didn't beat him.
Couldn't beat him. Might have to run it back one more year. What do you think? Go get that doctorate. Dr. Stetson Bennett IV.
Let's do it.
I didn't watch the video. Was Kirby paraphrasing, or did he really tell his crying son not to ruin the moment in the locker room?
He did.
I didn't watch it either.
He told him not to ruin the moment because Stetson Bennett was 25 and he had to go.
That part was funny, but the first part I love is that before he finds out why his son is crying, he says, why are you ruining the moment?
Will Muschamp pops out from behind his shoulder with his tankard of ale. Yeah, stop crying!
This is not a decision we made, I don't think, but I would like to pause here. TCU, I just don't think we're going to talk about you on this episode at all.
I think that's what
you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's the nicest thing we can do.
We're not going to look at you. We love you.
If you were Ohio State, this episode would be about you.
Yeah.
But you're
it's
not.
It's a lot like talking about a dead friend who died in horrible circumstances. And you go, hey, remember old Frank? Old Frank was so funny. And in the back of your heads, you're all thinking, died in a wood chipper, fell in a wood chipper.
This is Train Wayne.
Yeah. I'm glad Jason brought up Ohio State, because in a fucked up, very, very sad way, I think they are the most upset fan base.
Yeah.
From last night.
No.
Yeah. I mean, granted, they always are, but
sure.
Yeah, they were one play away from what, in hindsight, would have been an easy national title. Sorry to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
for whom?
Yeah, Michigan, TCU, Michigan, Michigan lost to TCU. Yeah, Michigan played real fucking dumb.
They did.
And still could have won the game. Like,
yeah, Michigan beat Ohio State, I'll grant, but Michigan played like absolute idiots against TCU. Ohio State is basically super TCU. That's the way I view it. So, when two very similar things play, the better one's going to win. So
this is really Max Duggan, CJ Stroud, I think, are not that similar, but that's okay.
Well, there's just two players. There's more. There's other ones.
That's fair. Right.
It sucks watching somebody's athletic potential max out in real time.
Yes.
When you look at somebody and they go, aha, making a play. Ooh! Dodging a bullet. No!
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Yeah.
I see some daylight. No, I don't. That's not daylight. That's
it's like getting dusted at the Olympics in the 100-meter dash. It's like, man, mm-hmm. that sucks. Like, you're still really fast, and you're still at the Olympics, and that rules. And mm-hmm. not, and most people don't get to do that, and you should be proud of it.
See, we
it sucks to finish
talked about 10th. TCU, and now we're talking about TCU.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
We're talking about the Fiesta Bowl champs is who we're talking about.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right.
And about Ohio State. A Which team whose grievances
that,
definitely
a team that won nothing.
I would like to give TCU mm-hmm. credit briefly for one other thing. I think it was very smart to not lose by a score that could be referenced on a clock. Nobody says it's 65-7. Like, that's not a time that you can reference, you know? So good job. If you're going to lose, make it so that somebody can't be like, look what time it is. Nope. Doesn't make any sense.
657.
28.
That's not the same. That's not the same.
Okay. I do love that the entire nobody believes in us thing, other than I think Spencer's onto something with the intentional work PSYOP.
PSYOP.
With the preseason rankings, Georgia showing up at number three after losing, I think, 30 total players is like, what an egregious offense. That's what they carried with them for months and months after, like, you lost 30 players.
You lost a round of the NFL draft.
Also,
a round.
By the way, this is when we actually, in this offseason, we're going to write letters. We'll take pictures of them to the University of Georgia football facilities. And what we're going to say is, I believe that you can win again. That's what we're going to say. Just so that we're on record as saying, we think it's possible. You can't possibly cite us as evidence.
But this year, they're definitely going to start number one.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. How they like this? This was when Saban was at his true mm-hmm. master genius, right? Like when he like manufactured like they're saying Washington's going to beat us. Bulletin board material. Nobody on earth thinks Washington is going to beat you, but he somehow had players believing it. This is when Kirby puts that to the test.
Dabo is obviously the master of nobody believes. Everybody's talking bad about us, and nobody.
Yeah,
believes
I'm not sure Kirby's true, can that's Kirby's true. Feet move that fast.
Right, like to
we're about to find out. I don't know.
Dabo is not wrong. Dabo tends to exaggerate it. He'll take, like, here are two columnists who said, I don't know, Clemson might
well,
not
he's
be.
He's right now, he was just late. I do not believe in Clemson at
that's
this
true.
Time.
Yeah.
He was just, never wrong, just early.
Mm-hmm. It's just, to talk about this from a bit of a metafictive perspective.
Oh, Lord.
Part of, like, previewing a college football season is trying to game out interesting possibilities. Like when we talked about the Oregon-Georgia game, we were like, well, okay, Dan Lanning is over here, and he obviously has spent time in Georgia. And, you know, Bo Nix is a chaos agent. And you do these things not necessarily because you're like, this is the thing that I think is the most likely and most possible to happen, but because it is boring to just say, Georgia's going to win the national title because they're the most talented and they have 1,000 analysts on staff and they have the experience and blah. Like, you can do that. It's just extremely boring to imagine college football in particular from the path of least resistance. But then that gets flipped into like, well, you didn't believe in us because you didn't say King Kong was going to dominate and destroy everything.
Well,
it's the same impulse that like, if you're like, do you think you could fight a wolf? No, you couldn't fight a wolf. But it's more interesting to talk to
Michael
somebody who
Felder
thinks that they could.
Too?
Yeah, I apologize. Okay.
This is like if you have a rifle and you're trying to fight a wolf, because Alabama did. They had, but by the numbers, they had a roster that was as talented, arguably more. They have all the same talent advantages. They have a coach with more titles. Like entering the season, you're saying it was unreasonable to expect Alabama to win a title? No.
Right.
No one has to believe, you know. But I just love that that is small enough of a slight to carry for months and months and months and months and take it out on poor TCU. That someone thought Nick Saban might win a national
title. The preseason three we're talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
what Georgia
Bama, Georgia,
was
Ohio
this year?
State, I believe.
Bama, they were docked Georgia, one spot for every 10 players they lost to the NFL.
Right. Right, plus
it's
transfers.
Temerity.
Because they're out to
they
get
lost
us.
As many transfers as they did draft picks.
Yeah.
Mm.
Someone at Ohio State thoroughly believes the NFL draft is a plot to weaken Ohio State. I guarantee you. Like, just,
oh, we can find this.
Exists.
Folks, if you can find this message board, send it to us.
They're just against us. They're just totally against us. We're the victims again. We're always the victims.
I mean, I've seen Ohio State fans allege the Walt Disney Corporation is because it's based in Florida. That's why ESPN is pro Alabama, anti Ohio State. So yeah, they'll believe anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's all about my feelings meeting the world. That's what
they
this
really
is about.
Snatched that crown neatly from Florida State somewhere in the past decade.
I
think Florida State just sort of emerged for like 6 months. It was always Ohio State.
I'd also give it time. I think we might be coming back.
I didn't think this was ever going to be possible, but I find myself looking back somewhat fondly upon the talking about the Knowles era.
I mean, Florida State is going to be top 10 in the preseason poll, possibly higher. Depending on how some things shake out.
I am sort of interested in like a potential chemical fire kind of way of seeing what happens if those two narratives get to compete.
Florida State is probably
talking
going
about the
to
Knowles
be
versus talking about the Bucks.
I have a hard time. It won't be unanimous or anything, but at ACC Media Days, Florida State is probably going to be the trendy pick to win the conference, right?
God, the 90s really are back.
Like, yeah, I think so.
I wanted to get on the topic of getting people amped up and having them believe that nobody believes on you.
Yeah.
Nobody believes on you.
I believe in Florida State. I want to get that out here right here. 2023 Florida State. I believe in you.
I will send a letter on official full cast letterhead that I also believe in Florida State. You may not use it as
evidence.
We
should make, Ryan, can we have letterhead?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Can we believe in every team? Let's do it.
Let's each pick one team.
Let's each pick one team not to believe in.
Yeah, USC.
One team, USC. God, you
took so
mine.
Quick. That was so quick. All right.
Note: I'm wearing a Tulane hoodie. It's not personal. It's just business.
USC. We don't believe in you, Holly. Do you want to pick one?
Notre Dame.
Oh wow! After the transfer they got, okay.
What transfer?
Sam Hartman. I think Sam Hartman's going to be really good at Notre Dame.
No, I mean, I don't believe in them. Like, I don't believe it exists. I've been there, but that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Sam Hartman has vanished from our plane.
I deny its actual existence.
Notre Dame denialist.
Yeah.
Sam Hartman has ended.
Okay, Spencer, I'm sorry to take the anti-Catholic mantle from
you.
But.
So the USC-Notre Dame game, we don't believe in USC, and we don't believe Notre Dame exists.
Game's not
happening.
Couldn't
possibly care what happens.
This game is being played on a green screen at Epcot.
Okay,
I'm
going to
go ahead and being the resident militant atheist and
anti-Catholic,
of course. I'm going to go ahead and say Clemson. Clemson.
I don't believe in
little old Clemson. Just go ahead, soak it up, Dabo.
I feel like I got to pick a Big Ten team now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't believe in Michigan. There it is.
Yo! Come on, man.
No, they are going to have it.
What about
Penn State? Manufacture a narrative for next year for us.
Penn State's going to be really hyped.
Oh, wait. I don't believe in Penn State. I'm changing mine.
You want to be?
Too
okay.
Because I've never been to Penn State. I can't prove it exists. I've never seen it.
Mm.
If we make it, it has to be a preseason top 10 team.
Mm.
Penn State would get you there.
Okay.
I'm honestly not sure what.
So one of y'all ought to take Alabama, which was ranked above Tennessee in last night's final AP poll. But I know that I haven't really grown as a person because I went to tweet some shit at the account knowing full well that it's just going to rain down on Ralph Russo, a lovely man who I don't want to rain down on. It's not his fault.
And also, when you say you don't believe in Alabama, you join a lineage that you may not necessarily want to join up in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They keep
I don't
track
Penn
of
State.
That.
Right.
Okay.
I'm comfortable there.
Penn State, USC, Clemson.
You know, LSU is an option. LSU's going to be top 10.
My mind. Yeah.
Okay. I'll take. Yeah, that's fine. I like our LSU friends, but yeah, I don't believe in LSU.
How hard is it, by the way, to get a bunch of 18 and 22 year olds pissed off? Because we assume that
we love our LSU friends, but they've hallucinated before.
Frequently.
I don't think they're the ones voting them this high.
Mm-mm. We you just heard Kirby Smart on a pregame locker room speech, two of which were recorded this year and got out publicly, and both of which sounded remarkably similar in terms of tone, profanity, and intensity. The message is always go fuck them up. They think you're bitches. Do you remember being 20? If somebody walked up to you and they were like, hey, that guy thinks you're a bitch, that was news.
Sure.
You were like, oh,
Who thinks I'm a bitch? Who said I'm whack?
I'm going to play football against him.
Yeah. Now imagine if you're a football player and Kirby Smart walks in and goes, they think you're bitches. You're looking for that anyway.
Right. And you're a punter and you're like, oh, shit. I'm going for 55 yards
we'll
and punt
the
now.
Shit out of this.
I'm imagining Georgia Kirby punt career last night? Day.
Georgia punted in the second half. Oh. I think their first possession of the second half was very of them. Exciting. Yeah.
Like call timeout to get the punter a rep. Just the same.
That was a 48 yard over. That was a narrative that we really did not get to see enough of last night. Aussie punter duel.
Yeah. That was underdone.
Tisk. Yeah,
Georgia won that one too. Fuck.
How bad would it be if you are in the proverbial bar fight with football players in the classic jocks versus townies scenario in a campus bar, and you turn around and you see the punter winding up to kick you in the nuts? Like, just as, like,
which
everyone
punter?
Else is swinging like, and fighting and tussling.
If you're talking, like,
thing.
The punter as we think of him, but, like, now it's like, oh, the punter? You mean the 33-year-old Aussie?
The 33-year-old Aussie soccer player winding up to kick me with, in the like, I'm going to fucking drop.
The one with a fully tattooed neck who's kind of jacked for a punter? Yeah, I'm not.
I am, in fact, talking about that because you go, well, I expected to get hit in the head with a chair wielded by a burly 270-pound defensive end. Yeah. But instead, this 27-year-old former tattoo parlor worker from New South Wales is about to rupture my testicle with a perfectly executed punch.
A former shark tattooer.
Yes. Former shark therapist.
Shark therapist.
He listens to sharks' problems. It's an Aussie thing.
Sharks don't have a lot of problems, but they are deeply felt.
Yeah.
Sharks never have the same problem twice.
But that man, that's got to suck immensely because you go, oh, I'm about to get beat up by the punter, and you're like, it's gonna hurt more. You ever been kicked really hard by somebody? Oh my god, it's the absolute worst.
Like, I think we're at that point in history where like all athletes are pretty much gods. That it doesn't like the positions don't matter anymore. You know, like getting your ass kicked by a kicker, a long snapper, whatever. It's not the same thing as it would have been in like 1994 or something, where you're like oh, you're on the team 70s, for GPA purposes,
or even like 70s NFL. The kicker is like
yes,
well that he weighs like 90 pounds and half of it's beer gut. That's a pro athlete.
he's 47 and his shirt doesn't fit very well.
Yeah,
he's out here kicking.
I don't know. I still think it would actually, like, if you got to pick somebody who it's, like, actually an athlete who you don't want to get your ass beat by. Right?
All of them? What? How is this a hard choice?
I'm not a strong person.
I want to be clear. I'm not going to enjoy the ass kicking more if I'm like, that's a starting middle linebacker. Fuck yeah, he's fucking me up good.
I don't know how center of gravity is probably.
Is it, maybe we establish a certain number of hit points that we have to lose in battle?
Okay, so we're
I
want to
just lose them all at once.
We're creating townies versus teams LARPing.
Right.
Sure. If I have 100 hit points, I'm confident any player on defense, any of the offensive linemen, honestly, anybody but the specialists can eliminate it all at once, right? Whereas the kicker, he might need a minute.
Yeah, but the specialist...
That's going to hurt more, though. Those repeated blows, I'd rather be taken down with one shot.
I just want to get it over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, the specialists, too, have something to prove. That's the worst part. You know,
that long snapper is going to put you in the cobra clutch and make you...
Like the one thing,
respect the nuances of my position.
The one thing may be working.
I'm highly valued in an NFL scenario.
The one thing may be working in your favor with the specialists is they're like, hey, I got an internship. I can't fuck up. I'm gonna go with that bank.
I can't be seen doing.
I'm not doing this shit.
No, if it's
not called J.P. Morgan choke.
If it's in finance,
it should be though.
No, in finance, they're gonna do that. They're going to be like, listen, the bros in my internship, they're going to be so stoked about this. I'm going to go to J.P. Morgan. They'll be like, you got in a bar fight? You're like, yeah, fuck yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Private school kids probably do regard fighting as exotic, right?
Yeah.
Like, or like something their pets do.
You touched him? Yes. You punched him? Yes, in public. It happened. I didn't know, by the way, that in Texas you could just agree to have a fight with somebody as long as it's simple assault.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, like you can.
Let's get some context in here.
So in Texas, if you're in Austin and you're on 6th Street and you have beef with somebody in a bar.
And somebody says, hey, that guy said you're a bitch.
Exactly. If somebody said they
you
said you were
that
going
Texas
7
has
and 5.
Like a municipal dueling code?
They were like, if somebody said you were going 7 and 5 and you were like, I heard that. We need to go fight. You can agree as long as it's just simple assault. You can go out and you can have a tussle, like on the street.
And you can have like a tussle, what, without legal consequences?
As a form?
You think that's...
Spencer, important background here. According to whom can you do this?
I don't know at what point it. I don't know at what point it goes into aggravated, and I think that's probably where this is a slippery slope.
Spencer, repeat it. Same question. According to whom can you do this?
Hold on a second. I'm going to get you the source. Hold on.
Was this the guy who
said? Decide this?
So two guys came up to you. One of them said, "I heard someone called you a bitch." The other one said, "I heard you can go punch him."
Okay, so I'm looking at the difference between
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. According to Penal Code 22.06, if two parties in Texas agree to a physical fight, then they are allowed to do it. They're allowed to get hands.
That's not. It can't say that. It can't. The Penal Code possibly can't say allowed. They are allowed to do it.
But like allowed, allowed what? So like, if a cop rolls up on you fighting, he can't stop you if you both turn and you're like, it's cool.
I think that's yes. I think that is what Spencer is saying.
What
now?
Yeah.
The difference
Texans,
here's the tricky
please
part.
Please sound off in the comments.
So the difference between
this is from an art. This is from I have the
Spencer,
code.
This is crack.com.
No,
I cannot wait to read.
Oh, I bet this is a law firm article.
No, this is KSAT.com. Okay, this is they reached out to the San Antonio Police Department, and the San Antonio Police Department said, the spokesperson for the department said, mutual combat is just a fight, and during that fight, if someone introduces a weapon, that's when use of force laws enter in. Huh. Most of the time, it's an argument that both parties agree to turn physical. KSAT asked about the potential that two people consent to a fight.
What constitutes an agreement or consent, though?
And that one person, I'm not exactly sure, and that one person okay. wants to press charges after. The San Antonio Police Department spokesperson said they're not able to do it. So if you consent to this and you get your ass whooped and you want to go cry to the refs, they're like, sorry. Next down.
I mean, this is just codified fuck around and find out. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will be shocked at the only other state where mutual combat is legal.
Wisconsin.
Wyoming.
Tennessee.
No.
Delaware.
No. No.
Rhode Island.
Maine.
No. The only other... Maine would be funny. But you could
Alaska, because it brings people together.
I have decided that it's... I've decided
we're
going
to fight and cuddle.
If you can fight another person, you can fight them. No questions asked.
Please bear hug me.
It's so cold. Just punch
I crave
so
human
I
contact, even if it's a punch in the throat.
Put me in the damn sharpshooter. I'm so lonely.
Yeah, there goes old Ted again. I'm warning you, he'll fight you just to get close to you and snuggle.
It's how he shows
happened
love.
To me many a night.
It's how he shows love.
It's awesome, honestly.
Awesome. He's a giver.
What's the other state?
Washington. Washington State.
Yeah, that does figure.
It's the only other state where mutual combat is totally legal. Now, apparently it's very WWE, and that they're like, if somebody introduces a chair or a table, they're like, oh, I gotta arrest you.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay. No.
Okay,
no contest.
Hang on, question. Are there semantic ways of skirting this by introducing like a little tyke's chair? Like if I beat you over the head with a chair that's made of the same plastic that's used to make a wiffle ball bat.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to be even softer than that. I think it has to be like he attacked me with a rhythmic gymnastics ribbon.
I was
going to
say like a gymboree trapezoid.
A pool noodle.
I think any weapon is a weapon.
Pool noodles fucking hurt.
Yeah, but it's hard to fuck somebody up with a pool noodle.
Disagree.
Yeah, you think you could break somebody's leg with a pool noodle?
You say that now.
My citation in this is my brother played offensive line and was taller than me by the time he was 12.
Okay.
You can really fuck someone up with a pool noodle.
Okay.
How do you agree to this fight?
I think it's as simple as...
Like, does it need
like,
to be in writing or what?
No.
Yeah, is it?
I am sure it's just like...
Do you need a third party?
But like what constitutes verbal... That's what I was asking earlier. What constitutes consent and do you need witnesses?
Do you want to go? Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
What if we disagree on whether I said yeah?
The framing here, you're thinking of the framing wrong. The framing here is all that the cops just don't want to do shit. So well, as sure. long as they can go walk away with like, yeah, we think they wanted to fight. They're good.
They that's disagree it. On whether they wanted to fight. Isn't that it, in and of itself a fight?
My yes, God, that's right.
I disagree that a cop approaching the scene wouldn't want to do shit.
Well, so this gives the cop an option, right? The cop,
yeah.
There's two okay. things cops love, okay. being violent and being lazy, right? This gives them the option of which they want to choose.
Also, the cops are not leaving. They're going to watch and see who gets their ass beat.
Yeah.
And then arrest the loser.
Like, yeah. like I think what you...
Okay, arresting the loser of a fight would be the actual funniest possible way of legislating these. Like making sure you really want to as loser gets arrested.
Looks like God decided you're coming with me.
Every cop at heart wants to be an MMA ref. And I think what mutual combat allows is for them to live that dream.
We're espousing, we're advancing a number of law enforcement theories.
It's the noblest thing we've ever said about cops.
Okay, by the way, according to, yes, this is a law firm article, okay? But the law yes. is not, of course.
Okay.
The law has a lot of wiggle to it. But though juries must be given instruction on consent, if the evidence calls for it, the true meaning of a combatant's words are a variable to be considered. In a decision decided on a technicality, the court recognized that words like, go ahead, come on, slap me, and do it were not indicative of consent, but were, and I quote, a backhanded warning of potentially dire consequences to the threatener, unquote, in those circumstances.
I gotta say, warning's front-handed.
If you say slap me, and I slap you. I disagree with that reasoning.
I have a case study to read.
I bet you do.
Why do you have so much on this?
In Miller versus State, the mm-hmm. victim's son invited his father to, quote, come on, hit me, unquote. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The son later explained to police that he was, quote, all jazzed up, unquote, and eager for a fight.
What age was this person who said jazzed up?
The victim then kicked and punched his father before his father punched his son. The appellate court took the provocations of the victim to be part of the calculus for determining mutuality.
This sounds like one of those word problems where it turns out you're your own grandpa.
Yes, oh. yes, yes. The doctor was a woman.
This is Texas. I'm not sure that's possible. Or legal.
Is this still
Dr.
our national
woman, Medicine Quinn.
Why did you bring this up again?
I don't know.
I was just thinking about mutual combat, man. Thinking about somebody calling uh-huh. you a bitch. And I was like, you know what an instance oh,
right.
where you
right, yeah,
like
okay.
That.
That's right. Mm. Yep.
Not
so in this instance,
random.
TCU, a team, in fact, from Texas, can now argue, we never said, come on. We never said, go ahead, Your Honor.
Yeah.
And yet, they slapped us anyway.
We cannot determine mutuality. We can determine like that Georgia was.
TCU didn't like start the year saying like we want to play Georgia. Why'd they have to do it? That sucks.
Nobody yeah. does. Nobody
All they
starts
did was
the
beat
year
Michigan.
They want to play Georgia.
This isn't a fair consequence
Listen,
for beating Michigan.
We have to do that shit every year. Take it from us. Don't you don't want it. It's not fun and it'll hurt the whole time.
It's just not fair.
It ain't fitting.
It ain't fitting.
Can we do a little tour of vibes? To end the season here? Is everybody on
board? Yeah.
Yeah.
We did this at the beginning of the season, and I don't remember what we said because an important part about doing this show is immediately forgetting everything that happens on it. But I'm curious, if you looked conference by conference and said, good vibes, bad vibes. Like, let's start in the Big Ten. A very confusing place to judge any vibes right now, but what is the program that is really cruising high right now?
Penn State.
Yeah. It's Penn State.
Okay. Does that feel sustainable?
Contractually obligated to disagree at
no.
this time.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
no. They will immediately fuck this up.
Is this
they're
the
feeling, they're feeling really good.
Is this the first year we didn't get even a whiff of James Franklin is being considered for any job?
I don't remember.
Well,
any.
Hold that thought.
The Cardinals job
let's see
is
how
open.
Soon,
you're
let's
right.
see how soon. I was gonna say, let's see how soon the Michigan job opens up.
Yeah.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I can't think of a worse matchup.
No, me either.
So the other one, that I would throw.
I got a weird good vibes candidate.
Okay.
Illinois.
No, I think that's a great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the bowl game was kind of but that it was a weird Illinois
one.
Ways.
We got to throw out that bowl game. That was a weird one.
I would throw Wisconsin in this. Like, we said Wisconsin had good vibes for very different reasons at the start of the year.
Getting great vibes off. I mean, they'll be getting a great vibes bump off this hire.
Yes.
Are we including hires and transfers?
If much so, as we said.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yes. Shit, if we're just saying, like.
Am I walking right back into the trap by saying we're never, ever, ever grading hires again? But Luke Fickle! But we're never, ever, ever grading
hires. But just from
again.
A vibes. Just from a vibes basis. Yeah. That's
specifically,
all.
Specifically bringing in Phil Longo to coach the offense. Like,
what are we doing? We're going to try to score points.
Yes. Uh-huh, that's going to seem fun. And bringing in a quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, who is capable of scoring points.
Also,
whether it works
Tanner
or not,
Mordecai.
It sounds fun.
It is. And it is the most like, oh, Wisconsin is doing some shit that Wisconsin has done in a long time. Mm. Wisconsin is usually happy to be like, does he look like he could be on a 90s ABC sitcom? He's our coach.
He's wearing a sweatshirt. And he
Which,
like
to be
a
fair,
dad.
Like Luke Fickle has enough children to have a 90s ABC sitcom, so I guess this still
eight is enough.
Applies. Yeah.
Yes. And he looks like Eastern European hitman.
Okay.
He's jacked.
The Steve Coogan biopic is going to be
amazing.
Worse vibes in the Big Ten.
Ooh, boy.
To the extent anyone cares enough to vibe about Northwestern, I don't know how it could be any worse.
Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Because you're not getting rid of that coach.
No. Nope.
Michigan is at the top of what I think is going to be a pretty significant plummet.
Okay.
In vibes. And it pains me to say so as an alum.
Okay.
But currently not. Like, they did beat Ohio State.
They're currently fine,
but about to plummet. Is that what you're saying?
Whose vibes are worse?
They're
kind of
doing the tick up on the roller coaster, and they're just kind of hanging up here. Mm-hmm. But the next thing that happens is...
Michigan State is in a really interesting vibes place right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like...
You know what Michigan State is in right now? The water faucets where you have to turn the hot and the cold on from separate taps, and you're touching the water, and you're like, ow, maybe?
Yeah. Ow. Good.
Does this hurt?
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of refreshing. Ow.
If it seriously doesn't work for another year, that's going to turn very weird, very unpleasant.
Extremely funny,
That'll
though.
Turn downright Texas A&M-y.
Okay, SEC, best vibes, Georgia, obviously.
Well.
Other than Georgia, who's got the best vibes right now? Tennessee?
We do.
Yeah. Very positive vibes.
Definitely.
Love it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Love it.
The only argument to the contrary would have been like, who knows if Joe Milton is good? And then
I'm gonna regret this
fucking
here.
Great against Clemson.
I'm gonna regret this here. Where I'm enjoying myself. There, timestamp it.
Worst vibes in the SEC.
Other than A&M?
Sure.
Yeah. Do we have to exclude them for obvious, clear front runner bad vibes?
Yeah. In the same way that Georgia's over here, we understand they have the best vibes as the two-time champion.
You know who can turn
that
crown upside down?
I think Georgia has such a low vibe ceiling, though, is the thing. Like, as a program, I don't feel like they have an extremely high capacity for.
Do you follow George Foster on Twitter? Because that's not how he says.
Yeah, no, he's pretty happy.
Worst non-A&M vibes.
Okay, yeah, because who can turn that frown upside down faster than Bobby Petrino?
God,
ew. Here
comes, don't like that.
Yeah, worst vibes overall.
Besides A&M, I have a choice. I think considering the very justifiable friction and division in the fan base and the state of the football team over the last however many games, Auburn? I don't know anyone who's happy at Auburn.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
Yep.
Is it bad that we didn't even think of Auburn for a minute?
Yeah, I didn't even think of them.
I think
worse.
It's healthy. I think it's good that we didn't think about
that's
Auburn.
That's the body protecting it. That's my body protecting itself.
Yes.
Yeah. There was, like, Ryan, you posed the question of who is going to be the random upset of Georgia next year, and I'm looking and I'm like, well, Auburn, I don't want to think about Auburn. Ordinarily, I would just automatically say Auburn.
Yes.
But they are... I'm removing them from my brain as like agent of fun.
Yeah.
It is the position of this show that we are going with South Carolina just so we don't have to think about Auburn.
Yep.
South Carolina is Auburn for the time being.
Yep.
Yeah. South Carolina is our chaos agent band-aid that we are plastering over the actual chaos wound.
Thank you, Shane Beamer.
I love secular Auburn, South Carolina.
Concrete Auburn.
Man, that's bad when you're like leading the league in bad vibes. You know, non-Texas A&M category, and you haven't coached a game yet. Because I was, for a second, I was like, how are the vibes at Florida? And I'm like, well, they're not great,
they're
but they're not bad. Like, yeah. they're fine.
Don't make this
right.
Make
no,
this
I was
about
I was
you.
Trying to get a baseline. Well, no, I'm like, that's fine. Fair. I'm calibrating, right? I can say the word Florida. It's fine. But then I was like, you know, in order to get a baseline,
the
then I was like, where? But I was like, well, Billy's coached a year and you've seen some progress
oh, Billy,
and some like
huh?
problems, right?
My good friend Billy.
Billy. Now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy, for, I'm sorry,
Nate
my friend Mr. William,
coach.
It's
Nate
Billy. Here. It's Billy now.
Johnny I'm Shakes.
I'm saving this audio for when they're 3-3 next season.
The vibes, the vibes will be bad. The vibes will be real bad.
I will downgrade them to bad.
This is only funny because in the very late preseason, you were doing something I've never seen you do, which is you were like occasionally mentioning that you had read a recruiting story out of Florida and that it looked promising.
Jaden Rashada hasn't enrolled yet, but I will say that.
Okay. All right. We have to go to another conference
sorry,
now because now you're making about Florida and Holly was right.
But yeah, Auburn, it's bad. Hasn't coached a
you
game
can't
yet.
Let, you can't
negative
give
vibes.
Him an inch on this shit. He'll just run.
Best vibes in the Pac-12.
Oh, God.
Well, Washington?
Washington is a very good
real
candidate.
Strong.
Yeah.
Oregon State is a really good candidate.
Washington's strong. State, yeah. Oregon State is up there. We definitely know their coach's name.
Utah obviously is a very good candidate.
Yeah,
perennial high vibes floor there in Utah.
I love USC winning the conference or the Heisman and like the division, and yet we look at them like I don't really think they're happy.
Like is Caleb? Caleb's done
USC,
right? Okay.
USC knowing
now
they
Caleb's
have pressure.
Back.
Oh wait, Caleb's back.
Yeah.
Oh
shit,
I mean,
we might have to reconsider
everything,
USC.
But.
I would say next year's Washington team with Michael Penix back and USC with Caleb Williams back could be really fucking awesome.
Yes.
The Pac-12, there is a chance that they're this year's Big 12. The Pac-12
sure.
Next year.
I cannot, but to Cerber's point, I cannot remember ever like happily looking forward to a Pac-12 title game before, but if it's those two and they're both still in this kind of shape, we're going.
Utah and Oregon are going to fuck it up, but yeah.
Looking at the computer composite, in the top 15, you have five straight. Utah, Washington, Oregon State, Oregon, USC, all in the top 15.
Like
that's pretty good. That's pretty good for
bad
the Pac-12. I do like the Pac-12 as next year's surprisingly good watch as we have this year with the Big 12.
I don't know anyone whose vibes are flying higher in Colorado.
Correct, yes. Like, I don't think Colorado is going to be amazingly good next year, but the vibes are obviously much better.
They might go from one of the worst Power Conference teams ever to a bowl. They might.
Sure.
Spencer,
who's
vibes,
got the worst?
Bad vibes leader, clubhouse, no real contender, Stanford. Stanford, it's... They're the Northwestern of the Bay Area.
But,
it's
like,
real bad.
This is one where the ceiling and the floor are so, like...
Yeah.
How can you tell?
You know?
Can we consider Arizona State as per our mandate?
I think Arizona State made a really interesting
like
hire.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bringing in a lot of guys. We like that.
They're pretty,
I would throw
they're
UCLA. I would
team.
Throw UCLA into the worst vibes category.
But not Cal?
Like,
no, they don't
care. Cal having...
I'll tell you what.
I'm not sure if I can sense vibrations one way or the other with UCLA or Cal.
If
stadium-wise, there's already too many vibrations.
If TCU had won the national championship with Sonny Dykes, yes, the vibes at Cal would be absolutely...
I like the case for UCLA because like there was a point in the season where we thought, like, oh, fuck, they might win the conference.
Yes.
And now they're a pretty distant second tier or third tier behind, like... 3-5 legitimate top 20 type.
And that teams. And that bowl loss to Pitt, like just a garbage way to end the season for them. And all of the problems with UCLA like don't seem to be getting significantly better. I think we're on what is this? This is gonna be year 5 or 6 for Chip out there. And it's like, I don't know. The vibes feel, I mean, yeah, Cal
I think
vibes are real bad.
I think they're indistinguishable from Cal's where you just kind of go, I don't know, you guys want to field the team next year?
Yeah, yeah.
UCLA was elite running the ball this season. They are extremely good moving the ball on the ground, but with that and DTR opening up the ground game for them, both of those things are gone.
I got to put Cal below them because at least there's something to watch in UCLA. There might be some potential excitement. Cal didn't do anything. They're just inert.
Sure.
Some people might call that noble.
Beat Stanford, though. That's a good one.
I feel like Cal's vibes are just sort of baseline. Just sort of like there's no fluctuation. There's no anything. at all.
If you have, I mean, if you have to segment it, the Pac-12 North vibes are better than the Pac-12 South vibes, I think, even though those divisions don't exist anymore. I think that is largely true.
Yeah, because like even Wazoo, right?
Oh, you know what it is? It's just that the California vibes are all bad. All the non-California teams, like, there's enough of a vibe there where you can sort of be like, okay, something here. All the California teams have shit vibes right now.
Even USC, who is, like, kind of back, is like, are you, you know?
Well, to, like, to miss out on a playoff spot in the way that they did, missing 170 tackles against Utah, like, these are not, and then to lose to Tulane... Yeah, these are not the SEC team. Yeah,
The SEC team. That is a Big Ten loss to an SEC team. USC, I think the thing for me is like you lost in a way that looks exactly like your head coach lost all the time for his entire career. So like, is your ceiling Oklahoma? Is it? Or are you Oklahoma slightly better recruiting? You know?
Right.
Like,
okay. ACC best
vibes. We saved the best for last, baby.
We got two more, and we're gonna do a group of five. ACC best vibes.
FSU.
Yeah, think that's right.
Real high.
Duke. Duke has the best vibes. People.
Duke's got incredible vibes, man.
I'm gonna put one up. I'm gonna put one way up over. I'm gonna go with Duke from the coastal, but from the Atlantic. Louisville.
Yes, that's a great pick.
Talk about an upward trend that has nothing to do with games yet.
Yes, yes. Louisville, the vibes at Louisville are incredibly improved from where they were all year.
Everything they wanted out of this season.
And didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
The problem is they have a basketball team still.
Well, yeah, that is a problem.
I think it is Florida State, especially with like the number of transfers they've gotten, the number of people who have said like, yep, I'm coming back. It's like, oh boy, like Florida State is certainly positioning itself to be like, this is a year we're going to make a push. Worst vibes in the ACC.
This is a tough one.
There are certain ones that don't count.
Is it, can we say both division winners?
You have to have ambition in order to have bad vibes. That means Boston College is completely ineligible. They don't qualify.
Both Virginias. So
Virginia
surely.
Tech isn't. Virginia Tech is in the running here.
Both Virginias. I don't know what the fuck happened to Wake this year. I wasn't paying attention.
I think their vibes were great, and then took a little bit of a transfer situation.
I would actually put Georgia Tech over in the positive column.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we make of Miami?
Let's do that
because it's bad. It's bad, but with a top five recruiting class.
Right. Mm. It is bad, but in a way that feels like no, we knew it was going to go this way.
It's bad, but temporary, probably.
We meant to do that. What do we make of our Panthers?
So Pitt ended up being Pitt, mm-hmm. with if you kind of like take it all out of the context of the week to
noise?
Week,
yeah.
Can we clip that noise out?
If you take it all out of like the week to week ebb and flow of it, Pitt had a fine year.
Over the last 2 years, Pitt's done great.
Right.
It just felt
stupid.
Yeah, that's it.
Actively hating every the coach single hating Pat his own team. Yeah. Yet somehow winning a decent bowl anyway.
Yeah.
Every single Pitt season is
it works trip. For Nick.
It's road trip with psychotic dad with bad organizational like skills. It is. It's like he's yelling all the time. You get lost. You do some dumb shit, and he's like, "I'm real proud of you guys for making it through this." You're like, 9-4.
I mean, you win five in a row to finish the season, and you beat your arch rival for the first time in like, whatever number of years.
Yeah.
That's good. But you did like.
Pitt may have gotten the best draw in the new, like, you play these three teams every year.
Uh-huh.
They got Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech. Just a gift.
I love it.
Clemson gets Florida State, Georgia Tech, NC State. Georgia Tech has to play Clemson every year. Florida State has to play Clemson and Miami every year. Pitt really came out on the good side of that one.
They'll fuck at least one of those up every year. That's the good news.
Listen,
Pitt goes into those discussions and they're like, we really want to play our traditional Big East rivals. Our history with Syracuse and Boston College, we're just not Pitt if we don't get to play those two teams every year.
Can we say shouts out to Pitt's October where they had easily the dumbest fucking month of any team I've seen because they lost to Georgia Tech.
Nobody does that.
No, they lost to to Louisville when Louisville was supposed to. Remember, this is when Louisville made the turn.
It was Louisville like, yeah, was man. Like, please kill us.
Louisville was basically like handing them the sword and baring their neck and being like,
here's where I'm vulnerable.
I am tired of my head being
hit these
on my
blinking
shoulder.
Parts of my body.
Right, and Pitt was like, sure, and they slipped on some chicken grease and it went right in their gut. That's what happened. They lost that game, and then they lost to they did lose to North Carolina, which is respectable. Just a dumb fucking month, man. Just the absolute dumbest month. Way to go. And then recovered.
You know what? I don't know why we made this so hard. NC State vibes, trash. Absolute fucking trash.
Always.
But it doesn't.
But they beat UNC.
The
and it didn't matter.
The trashitude of their vibes seems unable to affect their team either positively or negatively. Does that give them some kind of incredible? Are they the immovable object when confronted with vibes?
I think they can absorb a tremendous amount of.
Like, can we put this in Pokemon terms?
They can. Their bodies. You know how like a radiologist can deal with more radiation from a nuclear event because they've been around it so much.
Mm-hmm. Right. They've got baseline exposure.
That is NC State and bad vibes. Like.
Okay. Okay.
Like their bodies can absorb so much of it.
I think in Pokemon terms, we might be looking at a Chansey. Just stands there, a lot of hit points.
Mm-hmm. You know what the answer really is? The ACC is
like
the ACC as a conference has the worst vibes of all conferences right now. I would say
usually. Mm. This is like 2005, 2015 yeah. vintage ACC.
Yes, yes. Like no as an good. Entity. And you're like, what about the Pac-12? And you're like, yeah, but the Pac-12 knows it's dead. It doesn't care.
When the Pac-12 did shit, like when
the Pac-12 was like, we're dead, but yes. We got a pretty corpse.
So yes. my favorite thing about NC State's season is that coming in, their main asset was Devin Leary. Devin Leary was supposed to be like their best hope for progress out of the eternal hole that they are in. Devin Leary ends up having an up and down season. Gets injured and transfers to a place where he can finally enjoy obstacle-free prosperity and support from his offense. That's right. He transferred to the University of Kentucky, where he will be playing quarterback. He watched Will Levis run through traffic the entire year after getting injured and said, that's me.
That's what I want.
That's better than staying at NC State.
Before we do Big 12, group of five, best vibes.
Tulane, of course.
Tulane.
Troy.
Definitely.
Marshall Coastal had some pretty good vibes.
Coastal high, but falling.
Yeah.
East Carolina. East
President
EU.
Anybody with Jake Hayner in their locker room. Watches the sun shine on their side of
you're
the
you're gonna talk about this like 6 years from now. You're gonna be like, ECU's I think Jake Peters. Yeah.
ECU's first bowl win in a decade.
Does UConn count? They're
sure.
Yeah. Independent.
Yeah. No?
Sure.
Not technically, but yeah, throw them in.
Yeah, sure. we kind of have to include them this year, yeah.
Worst vibes in the group of five.
San Diego State.
UMass is no worse than usual.
No.
Navy.
Yes. I can't decide. Like Ken getting fired stinks, but on the other hand, it's like maybe that is a
Ken
choice
getting
they
fired,
had to make.
Ken getting fired in the manner that they got fired, and just like the general shit birditude of current Navy leadership.
Yeah,
Top
this
Gun
is more
Maverick
of a split
came
zone
out
thing.
This
sorry,
year.
That's true. That is very true.
He said Top Gun Maverick came out this year. That's totally a good point.
That does prop it up a little bit. You're right.
Colorado State, like after all the changes they made and they're not really any better.
Yeah.
And now they're going to get like, and now Colorado is going to do the big boy version of that and probably get better.
JMU is one we left out as a great vibes season. Yeah.
Georgia Southern also.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is tough.
Yeah.
MTSU.
There you go.
They beat Miami.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
That's and won a bowl game.
Vibe state.
USF, your vibes are still trash. I'm glad you're building facilities.
There's nothing that can be done.
UAB vibes also high, but with an uncertain plummet in front of them. Sorry. I hate this hire. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, we did just forget for a second that Trent Dilfer was hired as coach.
We didn't forget. No, we didn't forget.
No. I mean, the royal we, me. I oh, totally yeah. was like, oh, okay. I was like, UAB, a happy place of dragons. And shit! God,
I love the hire. No, I'm not predicting success for the hire. I love it in a story way where it's like, oh, I see the logic. I don't like the logic. I could make the argument while hating the argument. it's just funny. It might work. Who the fuck knows?
One more bad vibes candidate from the group of five. New Mexico for years has been like, well, at least we live here with New Mexico State. At least we're stuck in this trash bin with New Mexico State, the brother that we hate. And now New Mexico State's like, bye, bitch. We're going to go to a bowl game. You stay in the trash barrel.
I go to bowl games somewhat regularly.
Okay, Big 12, best vibes, non-TCU.
Kansas State. What happened.
K-State with a bullet.
And
K-State, Texas Tech.
And Kansas,
Okay.
Just how we drew it up at the start of the year, the two Kansas schools at Lubbock.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have any strong argument against any of that.
No, despite where they finished up in the pack, I have a hard time making a worse case for vibes than Oklahoma State right now.
Can I give you queasy? Like queasy vibe? Oklahoma? Like not...
The queasy vibe like... I heard a noise outside.
Yeah,
is crazy worse than bad?
I'm not sure
what
it is.
I
think Oklahoma's I think Oklahoma, if we're going to, let's bedlam it out.
My car's making a noise. I think it's the way, yeah, that's what.
Oklahoma State, you can see that there is flames under the hood, so you definitely know that there's something wrong. But Oklahoma's is just making a noise where you're like, oh man, that sounds expensive.
Yeah,
there is enough. Exactly. There is enough to this Oklahoma season, and honestly, their bowl game was a really nice encapsulation of it. Where you're like, this might have just been God hates us this year. This might not be fundamentally flawed. It might have just been like the year everything bad could happen. I don't think that's great for your vibes.
Yeah,
they
had a lot of
great
close losses
future.
And won by 49 points.
Yes. West Virginia is actually...
But it's bad when your starting quarterback comes back like, yeah, I'm back, y'all! And like, there's two people.
Yeah. West Virginia is my worst vibes candidate.
West Virginia is not worse than Oklahoma State right now in terms of vibes.
I would argue that they are different because...
I mean, it's bad. I don't know how... I guess
Oklahoma State's not going to get rid of Mike Gundy, right?
I guess I can say this now. They were in the process of like trying to get Neil out of there.
Sure.
At some point. I don't know what happened.
Okay. That is concerning.
I don't know what happened there.
That is concerning.
I don't know that. I have a long list of thoughts on Neil Brown. I would mark West Virginia under the queasy thing.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot going on institutionally there right now.
Here's the tiebreaker that lets you win. West Virginia beat Oklahoma State.
Well, here's the tiebreaker that I'm concerned about is, and I mean, this is not just another, oh, Mike Gundy's an asshole. Yeah, he's an asshole to everybody, but the... One of his, I don't even know anymore. It's January 10th. I don't even know if this is the latest blow up he's had at a press conference. But, you know, have you looked very lately at the list of players they have going into the portal as in their offense is going into the portal?
Right.
And whoever it was asked him about this at the press conference, and he was like, why would I be worried about that? And I understand a scenario in which this could have been framed in the, you know, what's becoming the standard, well, we want people who want to be here. When you're, there's two kind of ways to be a weirdo and answer this question. You can answer it in the weirdo way that Sam Pittman did, and then you get wife portal. Or you can answer it in the way Gundy did, and he's like, what do you mean am I worried that my starting quarterback and this much of my offensive production would rather play for someone else next season? That's a stupid question.
You're a bad friend, and I won't be friends with you anymore.
Maybe you should explore the wife portal.
Oh, please don't do that again. We have headphones on. Fucking yikes.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. Oklahoma State's probably the vibes.
I'm going to make one more case.
Okay.
Iowa State,
Oh, after, yeah.
a good year and a few decent years, which all of those are achievements at Iowa State, to be clear.
Yes.
Finished the year with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1 and 8 stretch. They didn't win a Big 12
they
game.
I think they lost six games.
Or they beat West Virginia.
They won one. They went 1-8 in conference.
There's another case for West Virginia. But if I'm an Iowa State fan, I'm starting to wonder, like, we probably hit our peak.
And I didn't pay enough attention to Iowa State football. What did happen there football-wise?
Well, first they lost.
Like, was it any one thing? Or
first they lost the greatest quarterback in NFL history, Brock Purdy.
right.
Which he might win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, what day is it? We should probably... Jason, go ahead and put that bet down now.
Yeah.
This appears to be going well for you.
Brock Purdy finished with the best rookie quarterback rating in NFL history?
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, just like we drew it up. Like we said a few minutes ago, we are right about all college football players, always.
Brock Purdy in the NFL, he is the little Doge, big Doge meme. Like, Brock Purdy in college, little Doge. Big, strong Doge. That's Brock Purdy.
This is a player
that
we had been... I think so, yeah.
Okay. Doggy.
Like, if NFL fan had come and said, like, how do you... Doki. How do you explain this player? We would have been like, oh, here comes Chaos Machine, right?
Wait,
we would have been like, oh, buckle up for wacky shit, but he's a Shanahan quarterback.
Wait, hang on for one second. Server, are you positing that it's pronounced Dog Ecoin?
We've talked. This is early hand in the dirt canon.
That actually does make more sense.
Yes,
we decided that it makes more sense for it to be Dog Ecoin. That's why there's a dog on it, and it's Ecoin. You know, electronic.
I like it.
Yeah, and so because Doge is a made up thing.
I think
you have the Webster's Dictionary of the Twitter Dictionary.
I didn't
Twitter
know if it was like a J sound or like a ZH sound. That's where I was confused.
Do you think originally it was Dog Ecoin, and then because the word Doge was in it, the Doge meme got attached to it, and then the name changed?
Maybe.
Like accidental symbiosis.
Holly, to answer your question, Iowa State lost games by 7, 3, 1, 3, 6, and 4 this year.
Oh, we've had this season before. That sucks.
And other scores as well.
They lost by other scores. There were a couple
of gappers in there. There were a couple of laughers.
I've watched a team that I love do that season before. That sucks.
But they also lost by, like, it's not just that they lost close games. It's that it's like they lost to Kansas 14-11. Then they lost to Kansas State 10-9. They lost to Texas Tech 14-10. Like,
they beat
here's
Iowa
what happened.
10-7.
They beat Iowa to start the season 10-7, and then they got infected with Iowa the rest of the season.
That is weird. Yeah.
When Kirk Ferentz bites you, you got to clean that shit.
Yes. Imagine Venom, but it's Kirk Ferentz.
What would Venom... Okay, if Kirk Ferentz's Venom took over your body, what would he say?
I think you turned yellow. Corn yellow.
He'd say, get money, bitch.